Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, not a Proutie, came to the United States in 1999 as a 19-year-old Lebanese immigrant and quickly took an unlikely path. Within a few years, she was an undercover FBI agent, then later with the CIA. She investigated the bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen in 2000, the hunt for Saddam Hussein in Iraq after the fall of Baghdad, she was involved in that, and numerous other high-profile and highly classified foreign operations. Then it all fell apart when in 2007 she was accused of passing intelligence to Hezbollah. You may remember the headlines in the New York Post that dubbed her Jihad Jane, or the 60 Minutes piece last year that was more sympathetic. Eventually exonerated by the CIA and a federal judge, Nada Proutie was nevertheless fired from the agency and stripped of her citizenship. She is now out with a new memoir that tells the story of her life in the intelligence community and how she was kicked out of it. It's called Uncompromised. Nada Proutie, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you talk about your attitude about the U.S. and its government as a new immigrant, 19 years old, coming from Lebanon? When you first came, had you thought about our kind of democracy or our foreign policy?
No, I had not had an experience with the United States. It wasn't until I came here and I experienced it myself, the democracy, the freedom, that I fell in love with the country. And after that, I had decided to stay in the country.
Where did you come to? What city did you settle in New York, in the U.S.?
I came to Dearborn, Michigan, and I settled there as a student, and I had worked several menial jobs in Dearborn.
Big Lebanese community, big Arab-American community, a community largely suspicious of the FBI and CIA because of some of their experiences with them. Why did you join?
The country that took me in, I wanted to give back. And I saw my service for a country that loved me, for a country that accepted me for who I am, regardless of my race, regardless of my gender, regardless of my ethnic background. And I wanted to give back to the country that took me in.
Can you tell us about your experience as part of the FBI investigating the bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen in 2000? That's the one that people later concluded if the U.S. had taken it more seriously, maybe 9/11 wouldn't have happened.
Well, I was on the investigation team, and I arrived the day after the bombing, and I was involved in interviewing witnesses in on the USS Cole itself and interviewing other Yemeni witnesses. And I was involved in various parts of the investigation and with our Yemeni counterparts. I think the USS Cole had shown us that al-Qaeda was up to no good at that time. And there's a lot of speculation about whether what action we would have taken at that time that could have prevented the 9/11 attacks.
You mean, like, with 2020 hindsight, some people have said Clinton should have taken military action in retaliation for the USS Cole bombing or to try to weaken al-Qaeda after it, but declined to do so for political reasons. Is that your position?
Well, I think that had we taken more serious action against al-Qaeda then, I don't know if that would have prevented 9/11, but I think it would have probably put stress on al-Qaeda.
How about being in the FBI at that time, the widespread charges that information among the intelligence agencies in the year before 9/11 was flawed or wasn't being shared properly. Looking back at things that you know and, you know, experiences that you had, do you say to yourself, my goodness, we could have prevented 9/11 if the intelligence community that I was a part of had done a better job?
Well, I think there were some issues between sharing intelligence with law enforcement, and the issues continue to today's date. It's hard for the law enforcement agency to use intelligence that's collected from the CIA or any other intelligence agency to use that in a court of law. You have to protect sources and methods. And so we still have that wall, that barrier. It's getting better with time, but I don't think we're there yet.
Being of Lebanese descent, did you feel discrimination in the United States prior to 9/11? And if so, did it change after 9/11?
Yes, I think it changed a lot after 9/11. I think people looked at Arabs in general with a suspicious eye. I remember reporting to a case in the FBI. Someone had called shortly after 9/11 to say that her Arab neighbor looked at her funny in an elevator, and she's suspicious of her. These were the kind of calls that we got after 9/11.
You moved from the FBI to the CIA in late 2002. You tell a great anecdote in the book about how you were recruited by a CIA officer who you call Sam. He describes the difference between the FBI and the CIA. Can you tell us that?
Well, having worked for the FBI, I've always reported to a crime scene after a bombing had taken place or a crime had occurred. And after reporting to these crime scenes all over the corners of the world, I decided to join what I call the prevention team. The person, Sam, that I referred to in the book had asked me, "You always report to an incident after it had occurred. So why don't you look at the CIA and help prevent the incident before it occurs?" And that got me thinking, and I had a lot of experience with the CIA officer because I was assigned to an international terrorism squad. And so that got me thinking, and that's how I was interested in joining the CIA.
Let's talk about how you lost your job with the CIA and got charged with passing information to Hezbollah. Here's my best, you know, totally squashed summation of the case. You tell me what I'm missing. Your brother-in-law was investigated for numerous activities, including tax evasion, bribery, extortion, and associating with Sheikh Mohammed Hussein Fadlallah. By 2007, he was a fugitive living back in Lebanon. The investigations eventually led the Justice Department to investigate you, and the government accused you of using FBI databases to look up information about your relatives. They also accused you of passing information to Hezbollah. They also uncovered that you had lied in your immigration application in 1999 and that you had paid a man to marry you so that you could gain U.S. citizenship. You pled guilty to the sham marriage, but innocent to the other things.
Yes, I have. Let me start with addressing the sham marriage. I have disclosed the sham marriage on the first page of my FBI application, and I followed that with a phone call to the applicant coordinator. I wanted to discuss the circumstances of that sham marriage. The coordinator told me not to worry about it. So, knowing how the adjudication process works, I thought I followed directions. I did not worry about it. And then as far as the accessing the FBI computer system, as the CIA finally did a two-week interview or debrief followed by multiple polygraphs and exonerated me of ever associating or looking into an FBI computer system without authorization.
Why do you think the charges got as far as they did? Did it have to do with you being Arab American?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is my ethnic background. People are suspicious of that, and I think there was a lot of racism involved in this investigation. There are other political reasons that I mention in the book. And finally, being a national security workers, we're vulnerable. The evidence against us, we cannot view it because if it's what they dubbed it as secret evidence, and I was not allowed to view it or review it, and the exonerating documents were in the custody of the government that's accusing me of these things.
Nada Prouty is my guest on WNYC, the former anti-terrorism agent for the FBI, wrongly accused of passing information herself to Hezbollah, now exonerated by the CIA and by a court. Now, Nada, we have a whole class of students at PFs and MS 165 in Manhattan listening to this segment as a class project and commenting on our comments page. There are a lot of questions for you coming in from these students, and I'll ask you one or two, but I also want to bring on to join us Brian, who I think is the teacher. Brian, are you the teacher of this class?
Yes, he is.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
And who are you?
I'm Samantha Diaz from the class 802 in PSMS 165.
Yes, 8th grade, 802. And where is 165?
It's located on 109th between Amsterdam and Broadway.
Did you want to ask Nada a question yourself?
Yes. I'd just like to know, was she happy with how she is living now like not being a CIA agent.
Thank you very much. And if you want to put anybody else on, you can, but Nada, go ahead.
Yes. Let me tell you first that I was so honored serving my country both with the FBI and the CIA. And there are very few jobs that are as fulfilling as giving back to your country. And now I am on the sidelines, and I do miss my work, but I also have two children that I care for, and I'm happy with what I'm doing. Thank you for your question.
You're welcome. And there's more students coming on to ask questions.
Okay, we'll take one or two more. Another one that someone from the class posted on a webpage, how did it feel to be at gunpoint by a Marine? Were you?
Yes, absolutely. I was returning from collecting intelligence outside of the Green Zone, and as I was entering, I was in disguise, and I had my automatic weapon with me, and I was in a shabby car. My car had stopped at the entrance to the Green Zone, and the Marine approached me with his automatic weapon pointed at me, thinking that I was I was in a vehicle-borne IED. But that wasn't the case. It was very scary, and I was glad that I was able to communicate with him and get out of that situation.
You mentioned your kids. Another student asked on our website about doing some of your anti-terrorism work. How did it feel doing this while you were pregnant?
You know, when I was there in Baghdad, I knew the value, and I knew the what kind of intelligence that I was collecting, the intelligence that saved the lives of our U.S. Men and women in uniform. And it was hard for me to leave, even though I was pregnant. It was hard for me to leave, and I felt like I was deserting them. These are the people that protected us. These are the people that were out on the street. And leaving Baghdad in such a time when they were being under attack on a daily basis, I wanted to stay and help and contribute to their safety.
Do we have another student on the line?
Yes.
Hi, what's your name?
Isaac.
Also eighth grade?
Yes.
What's your question for Nada?
My question is, I want to know if she thought it was fair for everything that happened to her in the CIA or anything else that happened.
Yes. Hi, Isaac. Well, I view this as justice delayed, but justice served. And I look at my government and I say, this is the best government on the planet. There's no better government in the world. And I have been exposed to a number of governments.
Even after what you've gone through?
Even after what I've gone through. There are a few bad apples, but rings true to families, to companies, and everywhere. So I was exposed to some bad apples. There were some dark moments in my life, but I'm on the other side now, and there's nothing more that I say, and I tell this to everybody. I feel more American today than I've ever felt.
Isaac, what do you think hearing that answer?
Hello?
Oh, who's on now?
Kevin.
Kevin, what's your question?
My question is, how does she feel that she isn't a CIA agent anymore?
How do you feel not being a CIA agent anymore?
I miss my work, and I miss being able to help my government and gather intelligence. But I also, as I said to your colleague, I also have two very active children. So sometimes I feel like this is a little bit harder than what I was doing with both FBI or the CIA.
All right, Class 802. Great job. Thank you for asking great questions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there are more on the website, so keep posting them. Angel from the class writes, will you ever go back to being a CIA agent?
You know, people have asked that question, and I have considered it. I'm not sure. I am not currently a U.S. Citizen, and that's
you
one of the requirements.
You got stripped of that because of the sham marriage coming to light.
That is correct. But I have just recently in December, I was informed that the director of the CIA, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and the Attorney General have signed a memo to grant me U.S. person status.
Did you have to have this book vetted by the CIA and the FBI?
Yes, I did have to go through a clearance process, and thanks to my attorney and friend, Mark Zaid, who helped me with this process.
And what was that like? We have about 10 seconds left.
It was submitting things, submitting my manuscript and hearing back from them of things that they wanted me to remove from my manuscript. And it's just it's one of the processes, a bureaucratic process that we go through with the government.
Nada Prouty, now exonerated, her book called Uncompromised. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.